Omanon, Chapter 2. Thought. The deepest thinkers in society today are the scientists and philosophers, but in the past were probably the religious leaders and leaders in general. Few in the Western world realize that many of the old world religions do not accept conventional reality. Advaita Vedanta clearly states that all is imaginary and the mind is the only reality. Buddhism, Shinto, Sikhism, and Spiritism generally agree that the matter or material of the world is a product of the collective mind of humanity. These religions would better be referred to as belief systems and designed primarily for public guidance as opposed to the theologies promoted by promoting a God figure. Our school system in Canada and the U.S. allow Western-influenced theologies to dominate the teaching and freely misrepresent Eastern belief system philosophy. It seems there is a lot of money in real science and technology, and not much benefit from allowing students to realize that there are other perspectives that predate Christianity, Judaism, and Catholicism. There are also a variety of teachings promoted by those three religions that run counter to what humanity really is and represents. The subjugation of the female is one of the most obvious. These religions tend to center around a male God figure with a male offspring that is touted to be real and historical as opposed to mythical and part of a teaching system. The Christ figure represents one sect, one race, and only males, making the whole exercise patently absurd. If there was a God, it wouldn't be a he, and it wouldn't be connected with such cruelty as crucifixion. Granted, the church attempts to do good, and we do need such guidance systems beyond governmental ones, but many of the older ones do a better job of this and are quite unknown here and in Europe. The truth of the matter with regards to religion is that we created all the religious beliefs and God figures and control everything they say and think by our own thoughts. We are, in fact, the only God that exists and do not really want to worship ourselves. The righteous God-fearing of the world are a dying breed, and the church has been turned into a fundraising entity that occupies early morning TV and speaks little to the Western drug-oriented youth of today. That being said, there are a few in Western and European society that doubt there is a creator responsible for creating the world and all reality. This too is a bit silly, since the idea of creation is a theory that announces a starting point in time, again, ignoring the inexplicable spontaneity of such an idea. In other words, if God created everything, who or what created God? Also, where did the tools of creation come from, such as the area or space to do this, plus either the raw materials of creation in the form of matter or the raw thought process? There is no answer to these questions, and not even any attempts at answering them, because all of our theories and theologies begin with some starting situation that in turn makes them ridiculous. No theory by even the most educated and brilliant scientist has ever been No theory by even the most educated and brilliant scientist has ever approached these fundamental problems. And only the idealist philosophers have ever even come close to recognizing the truth of the matter. Idealism is a philosophy that parallels many of the early Eastern religions, stating that reality is purely a process of the collective mind, and the material world is an illusion. There is a great variety of idealist philosophers, and many even espouse some combination or dualism, which is quite ridiculous. The ideas of God and evolution cannot be combined, nor can true idealism and materialism. These are basic truths that can be argued because semantics allows all forms of conjecture, but any thinking person will realize that matter either exists or it is not, and both the God theologies and the evolution theories are pure bunk. Science is forming an exclusive club to explain the universe, reality, and especially gravity, and this has been going on since Einstein's time, and to some extent before him. All Western school systems push this club idea and promote students to become educated in mathematics, science, and the philosophies associated with realism or materialism. Oddly, both materialism and idealism have two meanings each. A materialistic person is greedy, or simply believes that the world is composed of material. An idealist has supposedly high ideals, or finds the world to be imaginary. For this discussion, the latter in both cases applies. String theorists are the new club members, and they have the most complex mathematics ever devised as their entrance requirements. This math is so complex that none of them understand it, especially as it applies to reality, because no string theory has ever escaped from the club to be explained to the general inhabitants of Earth. Molecular theory was bad enough, but most people now grasp its general direction and jargon, so in order to keep the physicists' club exclusive, they had to invent a whole new idea. Actually, it's already old news, as supersymmetry, or M-theory, is replacing the occupation of the club. String theory actually encompasses the last two bits of nonsense, and in fact encompasses several string theories that are in turn encompassed by M-theory, and on it goes. Again, the suspension of real science and scientific laws are required because this new theory needs either 10 or 11 dimensions, some curled up so small that they cannot be recognized or seen, and in fact the strings themselves are so tiny that no science can even envision spawning one of these things in the near future. The whole process has become grotesque and is an embarrassment to the scientific community because of its inherent unsupportability and unwieldy requirements for understanding it. It all came about because of Einstein's incomplete unified field theory, which could not include gravity, no matter how hard everyone tried to math it in. So, the complex and magical string theory was invented in which gravity can be included, and no one has yet announced that molecules and atoms still exist in their previous form, composed of quarks and antimatter. And this all sounds a bit like Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. The truth about gravity is very simple and does not need complex math to understand it. Kids in public school can grasp the basic and elegant physics involved, but string theorists won't get it. There is no process other than thought, is what the kids should be taught. Gravity is simply a feeling of weightiness on your seat and feet, and a ball drops to the ground so it can bounce. We imagine things that way, and there is no need for some complicated quantum physics mathematics to explain it. If we didn't imagine gravity, we would float all over the place, so we do. There is no money in simple truths like that. No one builds cyclotrons to prove that everything under our microscopes is imagined. So that brings us to what is thought. It's not brain waves rattling around between synapses in a physical mind. The mind is not located in our individual craniums, as modern physical science would have us believe. It also is not something that only belongs to individuals. As a matter of fact, there really is no such thing as an individual apart from what we allow as apparent separate people. Now that last statement will probably get you thinking, won't it? We're not really individuals. This is another thing taught by old Eastern belief systems. We are all part of one thing, and the Beatles, under the tutelage of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, fostered some of their lyrics, sung primarily by John Lennon, that embraced this statement. Extrasensory perception, precognition, and the feeling that you know others and what they are about to say will bear this out. We are all sisters and brothers, and not only part of our environment and universe, but the very thing itself. And so is the thought process. Every being, creature, and thing comprises a single entity, and the separateness or individuality of us created so that is created so that we have companionship. I am you, and you are me, and we simply pretend to be individuals. We think we are separate and pretend to each have private thoughts, and also pretend unknowingly that we cannot hear or understand the thoughts of others because we do not want to be alone. Are you shocked by this? Well, you should be. If teachers were to hear their students say these things, they would accuse them of watching too much television and probably send them to a counselor or reality training. We have been brainwashed for so many years by well-meaning science-oriented people, and their theories are taught as fact in schools. A teacher will ask a grade 6 student, what is an atom? And the student will attempt to explain it is the smallest portion of a single element. The teacher should have asked, what is a theoretical atom? Because there really is no such thing as an atom or anything else for that matter. The student, on the other hand, could have answered that the atom is a theory that things are composed of such minuscule portions. But the theory part of everything is seriously downplayed. Many believe that Darwin's evolution of the species is accurate and no longer theoretical. Many believe that DNA is used to transmit all the traits of one animal or plant to the next. These things are interesting and should be taught as exercises of the mind, but have no real bearing in fact or reality. An animal has a thinking pattern that is not found in DNA, and it develops its ability to interact with the world as it grows. Science conveniently states that this information will be found in the DNA molecule in the future, but fails to see their theory as woefully incomplete today. Still, it is taught as if it were proved and not as an interesting concept, which it is. So we still don't know what thought is, do we? We think it is everywhere and in everything, and composing a single universal entity that each of us are a part of. But what is it? If there are no molecules or atoms, and energy and matter are the same thing, what could thought be composed of? Well, all we know is that it isn't composed of anything that we could describe. It's just what life is, and we may never know more than that. Namram Sora.